Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the American Nightmare Podcast. This is episode 77, recorded on Thursday, August 29th, 2024. All right. Awesome, awesome, awesome.
Can't bang my head this week because I got like a neck problem going on, so I didn't want to like
that fucking sucks.
Jam out like I usually do. Yeah. I think I need a new pillow.
Yeah, you just slept wrong on it, probably.
It's the old. All right.
Let's get started right away with some news for the month of August in horror.
Some good news.
Yeah, there's a lot of good news going on. Eli Roth has teased the return of Addison Rae in Thanksgiving sequel. According to Variety magazine, shortly after the first Turkey Day-themed horror movie, Thanksgiving, was released in November, it was announced that the sequel was going to be developed. Roth was the director and co-writer of the first and second films, tells Variety that they are working on the follow-up script and they're about to hand it in to Sony Studios.
Sweet.
When asked if Rae would be returning her character as one of the few survivors at the end of the first movie, Eli Roth smiled. And he says, I love Addison Rae. He said at the premiere of his new video game movie, which, by the way, Borderlands was fucking horrible. Oh, dear.
That's
God.
What I've heard.
200 and some odd million dollars and made $3 million back.
Yep.
It's already been released for streaming, right?
Yeah, dude, that was so bad. That's so bad. We kept her alive for a reason. Doesn't feel like Thanksgiving without Addison Rae. So I'm excited for that. They just announced and released the dates for Thanksgiving on 4K Blu-ray now. So I have the Blu-ray already. Now I got to buy the 4K when it comes out.
Bastards.
Rosemary's Baby prequel, Apartment 7A, has a trailer out.
Yeah, I saw it.
That looks freaky.
Yeah,
holy shit, dude. Hollywood Reporter says that the film explores what happens in the infamous Bradford building before Rosemary, a.k.a. Mia Farrow, moves in to the horror classic. Great horror classic. I love that film. I had my kids watch it even because I'm like, this is such a great horror film. And now that this watching this trailer, I'm like, oh shit, dude, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Well, you got the old lady from Edward Scissorhands and the gal from Ozark.
Yeah, right? Julia, can't remember what her last name is. And Diane Wiest is the old lady.
She's from Edward Scissorhands, right?
She's been in a ton of shit, yeah.
Yep.
It says that the apartment 7A is a
Julia
platinum.
Garner.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Platinum. Apartment 7A is a Platinum Dunes Sunday night production made in association with Paramount Pictures. The project is based on the film novel Rosemary's Baby by Ira Levin and directed by Relics Natalie Erica James, who collaborated on a screenplay with Christian White and Skylar James. Vicky Ray Rock and Alex Ginsberg serve as executive producers alongside John Krasinski, Alan Seeger, PGA, and Michael Bay and Andrew Form, PGA, and Brad Fuller as producers. Apartment 7A hits Paramount Plus on September 27th.
Don't Woo! Have it.
I do.
Do you?
No, I don't. I'm going to steal it. I'm not paying for that. Fuck them.
Yeah.
There's something else on there I was watching, so I just still have it. I don't remember what it was.
New trailer is released for A24's apocalyptic comedy Y2K. It reaches theaters in December.
I didn't see it.
You know,
I don't think I saw that either.
Watching the trailer of that kind of reminded me of Maximum Overdrive, but like for the modern age.
Not all coked up.
Yeah, not a coked up version of Maximum Overdrive. I'm talking about the same theme where the electronics and our machinery and stuff takes over the world. It looks pretty cool and looks like it's going to be gory with a bit of fun in it. So I'm excited to see that. I posted the trailer up on Facebook. If I did not, I will post it.
Yeah, I'll have to check that. I don't think I saw that.
Finn Wolfhard horror comedy Hell of a Summer secures Neon distribution for 2025 release.
Neon, nice.
Yeah, another flick from Neon, man. They're buying up all those flicks out there. According to Variety Magazine, Hell of a Summer was released into the film festival streams back in 2023 and looking for a distributor. And it was officially noted now that Neon Distribution will pick it up, release it sometime in 2025. Hell of a Summer follows counselors who are getting Camp Pineaway ready for a night before campers arrive when a mass killer begins slaughtering the staff. Wolfhard and Burke have said they wrote the film with the goal of upending Gen Z stereotypes. So this was written by Finn Wolfhard and what the hell is that?
He's a busy kid, Finn Wolfhard.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is something that they wrote and produced themselves.
Not
and...
a big fan. I mean, no? I've seen his stuff. Eh.
Yeah, he's a
hit I liked him in it.
Yeah. Hit or miss. Yeah, yeah, no, he's pretty good in it. Yeah, he was all right in the first Ghostbusters, the new Ghostbusters.
Yeah,
that Frozen Kingdom wasn't that great, but the one before was pretty good. 28 Days Later is in the bag, ready for release June 20th, 2025. Yeah. Nice. Hollywood Reporter says 28 Days Later director Danny Boyle, screenwriter Alex Garland, and finally reunited to make the sequel of their zombie or infected people movie classic. As the Hollywood Reporter reported earlier in the year, the sequel is set to be done with Sony and was going to be called 28 Years Later. Apparently, this is going to be a kickoff for a whole new trilogy.
Okay, good. Nice.
Well, let's see. I mean, you know, listen, 28 Days Later, great film. 28 Weeks Later, right? Yeah, 28 Weeks Later, great film. Yeah. 28 Years Later, yet to see. Maybe. Yeah. It's got to be, right?
Yeah.
Killian, what's his name, is back. So,
Murphy. You
know, Killian Murphy's back. So, hey, there's one good thing. He's a fantastic actor.
Yeah. Faux show.
Yeah, so let's see that. It's scheduled for theaters June 20th, 2025.
That's right, I forgot he was in there.
Yeah. Young, he was a skinny young kid in the first one.
Yeah.
Oh, he still is skinny.
He's skinny, but he's not young anymore.
Yeah, exactly. I'm surprised he did something like that, though, right? Because,
you know, sometimes you got to get back.
He's got the Oppenheimer thing. You know what I mean?
Well, no, that he went back to it. I gotta guess that they flashed a bunch of cash in front of him and said, please come back so we can finish up the sequel.
Peaky Blinders? He was in Peaky Blinders.
Dude, Peaky Blinders is great, and he's great in that. Yeah.
Yep. And there's a movie coming out with that, too.
Really? I didn't
see that. There's definitely have a movie coming out.
Cool.
Jack Black and Paul Rudd are in talks to reimagine the horror movie Anaconda.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. Hollywood Reporter says that Jack Black and Paul Rudd are in the early talks to appear in the reimagining of the 1997 horror movie that launched a mini franchise. According to sources, this is going to be a meta film. It's going to be a film of kids, of guys that grew up and loved Anaconda, that they go to South America to film their own remake of Anaconda and run into actual Anaconda and gang members. It's going to be a mix of a horror comedy, and it sounds like it's going to be fucking hilarious and awesome.
It sounds kind of like it's got like Tropic Thunder vibes.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which is awesome. If you can get Danny McBride in there too, man, like that movie will just...
That would be perfection. It would be perfection. The new story involves a group of friends facing a midlife crisis who are remaking their favorite movies from their youth. They head to the rainforest only to find themselves in a fight for their lives against natural disaster, giant snakes, and violent criminals. Yeah. So I don't know when that's coming out, but hopefully those do. I mean, they're in talks for it right now. Let's hope they sign on to this movie, and let's hope
that'd be awesome.
Brings us something hilarious and great. I don't know. You guys... hopefully have watched the movie of the year, Deadpool and Wolverine.
Oh, shit, yeah. Loved it.
I actually went to the theater, I'm not ashamed to say, three times to see this film.
I almost went a second time.
Dude, there were so many things that I missed the first and the second time.
I bet, for sure.
Like, little jokes that were like, oh, fuck, I totally missed that the first time around. That film is just, like, fucking great.
So many Easter eggs.
Theaters. Dude, it's still in theaters, and it's expected to lead the box office this weekend.
I was going to say, it took over last week, I think, is number one again.
Yeah, like, what the fuck? And Disney's not looking to take it out of theaters anytime soon. They're like, hey, we're at like $1.5 billion right now.
Keep it going. Keep it going. Wow. This weekend could push them up to $1.9 billion, another $100 million. Could you imagine?
That's insane.
Damn.
It's great, like a money-making machine. It's a funny fucking movie. It's funny. Anyway, in that film, if I'm sorry I'm spoiling this for any idiot that hasn't participated in this so far, but we got Wesley Snipes.
Oh, that's awesome. I was so jazzed when he – I was like, no way, man. Fucking Wesley Snipes. and supposedly they're in talks now to bring up – like to try to get like a retirement movie for him like they did for Logan.
That's my next news story. Ryan Reynolds is pushing as hard as he can to get Disney to allow Wesley Snipes a send-off film for his character, his version of Blade.
I mean, Ryan Reynolds just made you $1.9 billion. You listen to what the guy's got to say.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, look, here's the lesson learned. When somebody is in – first of all, I saw years ago there were always these interviews with him going – even before he played the Deadpool that was in the Wolverine origin story, he was like, I would love to play Deadpool in a movie. I want to play like an authentic, you know, comic book accurate version of Deadpool. It would be awesome. And then they wanted him to be as Deadpool, you know, as the character of Deadpool in that Wolverine origin story. When he read the script, he's like, I don't want to play this version of Deadpool. You're fucking ruining the character.
Trash.
Like, fine, we'll get someone else to play Deadpool. And he's like, no, fuck you, I'm playing Deadpool. So he played the character of Wade Wilson in the origin story Wolverine, even though he hated it.
That's trash.
And he kept trying to tell the studio, Fox, you've got to make a Deadpool – you know, comic book accurate character. This is a beloved character. It's one of the top selling comic books. This is something that you should be investing in. And Fox kept saying, no, 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 no. And then he even put together that little mini, you know, presentation. This is what we could do. And they're like, no, no, no. Then he leaked it. And the popularity was so high, they had no choice but to do it. So the lesson here is when Ryan Reynolds says, do something in film, do it in film. I mean, he's proven himself right twice now. So I'm looking forward to a Wesley Snipes final Blade send-off film.
Me too,
The rumor is he's going to be in Secret Wars, but I want to see one more Blade sequel with him as Blade. Either, you know, have him die or send him off in, you know, something good like they did with Wolverine in the
Logan
film.
Yeah.
What a great moment that was when he came on the screen. And he said his favorite line, my favorite line of Blade's in the film, which is, same motherfuckers always trying to skate uphill. All right. Salem's Lot remake is finally coming to Max. Woohoo! Yay! Yeah.
Nice.
Dude, just thinking of the fact that they had early previews of this back in 2021, select previews for people to see it. And then after that, just kind of put it on the fucking shelf.
That's like when
sense to me.
Yeah, whoever it was, that dude from the guy who was the CEO of like National Geographic or whoever it was that took over HBO.
That's the guy in charge of Max now.
Tossed all the fucking like good shit and like tried to cut costs and raise the price and like fuck this guy. Like it was working pretty good.
Dude, I'm starting to hate capitalism more and more every day. Every day, bro. Every day. But Stephen King back in 2021 said, hey, I just watched an early screening of the adaptation and it's a faithful adaptation and it's a slow build with a big payoff. He said that back in 2023.
It's a really slow build for sure.
Yeah. Obviously
the original was too, right?
Yeah. My only concerns are, all right. So it's scheduled to come out on Max October 11th, right? They delayed this for a long time. And some of the news out there from screenings that took place last year of the final film and the year before of the final version of the film, there's been some rumor out there saying that, hey, you know, it's good, but it's short. Rumor is 113 minutes. It's not very long for a horror film.
No,
and especially when you're talking about some character development.
Yeah.
I'm a little concerned because the rumor is that character development is a bit light and go for a lot of cheap jump scares.
Wasn't it a two-parter originally too?
It was over a four-hour length, two-part miniseries on television back in the day. So I'm a little bit concerned about that because there's a large number of characters, and you really have to get good character development to really enjoy the story.
They should have gave it the It treatment. Yeah. Split it up into two.
Yes, they should have just done. They should have done what they did with the TV show, make it two-hour movies.
Especially so straight to Max.
Right. Yeah. I mean, what's the fucking point here? Again, fucking capitalism, bro. Can't handle it. But anyway, October 11th this year, we will finally see it on Max. Fingers crossed that they don't fuck up one of my scariest films as a child.
Oh, God.
Yeah. That gave me fucking nightmare, especially the kid.
Although I think they did already, too, because they showed a screenshot, right, of the, of the kid's window. And I'm like, eh, okay. Yeah,
I didn't see it. I didn't see the screenshot.
Yeah.
Not scary.
Nah,
It didn't feel the same as that kid did with the glowing green eyes and shit and pale face, like scratching at the window with the smoke. And the way they filmed it, like they did smoke and then they reversed it so it looked like the smoke was like going back.
I couldn't sleep at night after watching that.
It was fucking wild.
Dude. I didn't want to go to bed, like, because
it gave me nightmares. Yeah, gave me nightmares. Even because I slept in my bedroom had a tree near the window and the tree would like scratch.
Man.
I remember like saying, I don't want to sleep in my room tonight. After watching that on television.
Yeah.
And my parents were like, it's on TV. It can't be that scary. And then I watch it. I'm like, fuck, I'm not fucking sleeping after this. Trap is heading to digital this week.
Didn't hear such good things about it.
I heard it was like a vehicle for M. Night Shyamalan's daughter to push her pop career.
And it did go pretty fast from the theaters.
My understanding from some of the reviews is that it is not a great film.
Yeah, that's a shame because the trailers look pretty good, I thought.
Yeah. I was intrigued by it. It was unique. Let's put it that way. The premise seemed unique.
Yeah. A lot of singing and dancing, apparently.
it makes me really upset. But whatever, you know. M. Night, the problem with M. Night Shyamalan is I'm going to say this, and all the haters, you can email me, you can call me on our dial-in number, leave me a voicemail, you know, tell me that I'm an idiot for saying this. The number again is 1-562-447-5855. Give me a voicemail and tell me I'm an idiot. But the bottom line is, a vast majority of M. Night Shyamalan films are fucking trash.
Yeah, he's got a handful of good ones and a lot of garbage.
I'm just gonna say it. It's fucking trash. Most of his shit is trash. Yep. He got lucky with Sixth Sense. What a brilliant fucking film.
Yeah.
And it
Split was really good.
Split was great.
The Visit was good.
Yeah, yeah.
And even Old was kind of intriguing, but it still was shit. Most of those films were shit.
I like Knock at the Cabin Door, too. I thought that was pretty good.
Didn't like it.
I liked
didn't
that
care
one.
For it.
Yeah, I liked that one.
I didn't care for that one. Yeah. In fact, I don't even know that I finished watching it. I think I might have gotten about two-thirds through. I was like, fuck it, this.
Yeah. All right.
Again, come at me, bro. M. Night Shyamalan is fucking gives me douche chills watching most of his movies.
Did you like The Servant?
No.
Well,
the first two seasons were fucking brilliant. Yep. I couldn't wait until season three, and then it just ran off a cliff. It was like a bunch of lemmings jumping off a cliff.
Yeah,
it was over.
Yep.
Done.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, the story just like went fucking sideways. It was like, what the fuck?
Bullshit. It's all bullshit. Again, Trap's going right to digital. Good. Deserves it.
Yeah.
All right. I know I'm being a douche, but that's fine. All right. The new Inside Universal Twitter feed teases that they are rebooting Wolfman. That's right. There's a new photo up for the Blumhouse production of Wolfman. It has begun filming. And if you go to outside the Fanta Bar at Lombard's, you will see there is a photo op there to take a picture in front of the movie screen. It says they're aiming for a production release of January 17, 2025, theatric release. So it looks like it's mostly done filming. They're in a post-production process. Huh. Should be ready for the new year. Let's see what happens. And look, Universal has some... you know, in this dark universe, the original universe, you know, Universal Monsters were great. I have all those films in 4K because I love original Universal Monsters. Wolfman and
Dracula.
Oh, they redid all those in 4K? That's got to be sweet.
Yeah, they're really good in 4K.
Creature from Black Lagoon?
Yeah, Creature from Black Lagoon. I have also the Invisible Man.
Bride of Frankenstein.
Bride of Frankenstein. And it also has Phantom of the Opera and Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Mm. All great characters, original monster movie stuff, you know, from Universal Pictures. Yeah. And they really should put some energy into developing some good product around this. We know they tried before with Benicio del Toro's Wolfman. Wasn't good.
Nope.
They did that revolting midget Tom Cruise. They had him in
The Mummy.
That's fucking trash. What a horrible fucking film. And then they teased at the end of that. I don't know if you remember watching that, but at the end, that was a couple of years ago, right?
Because it was supposed to be Universe.
Right. They were building the Dark Universe over again.
I didn't watch it because Tom Cruise was in it.
I can't stand
that
guy.
I'm serious. I didn't watch
it. Same here. Same here.
I was an asshole because I love Universal Monsters. I thought, I'm going to watch it. It can't be that bad. It was fucking bad.
I refused to watch Tom Cruise.
No, it was bad. And The Invisible Man was the only reboot that was like, wow, that was fucking great.
Really good. Really good.
Yeah.
Invisible Man was great. And then they teased Russell Crowe as Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, and then just never even made that movie.
He would make a good one, right?
He would have been great. But they spent so much money on Tom Cruise being in that other one that it was nothing. And the lesson learned here, the lesson learned here, if you ask me, buying top shelf actors for a film doesn't make it a great film.
Right. It's a story.
Yeah. Get some fucking decent writers. Put something decent together. And guess what? Spend the money on the writers. Spend the money on the effects. And hire nobodies for the fucking cast.
Yeah, because, I mean, the girl that they hired for Invisible Man, I mean, she's not A-list. Great. She's not an A-lister.
Dude, even the dude, like all the characters in that were fucking great. None of them were A-list actors, and it was a great film.
Yeah.
The writing was spectacular.
Yep.
And some good special effects.
And the whole story sold me on that, right?
Yeah.
Like the way they modernized Invisible Man.
Yeah, the backstory about
it. I fucking loved it.
Husband?
A douchebag, abusive,
control freak.
Gaslighting control freak. Fuck yeah. That was great. The scene with the knife.
Oh,
God. Oh, dude.
Blew my mind.
Yeah, they just knew how to, you know, make this guy so manipulative and just
again,
awful, right?
It's all in the writing, dude. It's all in the writing.
Just brain fucked her, right? The whole movie. It's like, man.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. That's all I got for news. There was a bunch there, but do you guys got anything you want to share with the news that I missed?
I have one thing that I saw. I know when we come out to visit, we had talked about going to the Disney stuff, but I saw Universal Hollywood's got a new live theater show, Late Night with Chucky. And it's it's Chucky, like the doll, like doing like a late night show, and you can like go see, it sounded kind of interesting. So I saw that. They announced that today, so I thought that was pretty cool.
Nice. I did see they have advanced tickets available for Dark Harbor, so I'm going to try and see what those go for and let you guys know.
Okay.
I think we should buy, try and get them ahead of time.
Oh, yeah.
They're 15% off if you buy them before the end of this pre-sale date is done.
Okay.
And what about Shacktoberfest? Could you just show up for that?
You can just show up for is just down there. But I think the Dark Harbor is the real thing we want to do, which is the haunted Queen Mary stuff.
For sure.
Going to be pretty cool. And then for the Disney, we got passes to Disney, but I didn't get us like Oogie Boogie Bash or any shit like that. So we'll probably just do like, the Haunted Mansion. They've already got the Haunted Mansion a couple weeks ago. We were there.
Sweet.
They already had it converted over to the Nightmare Before
Christmas.
They
said opening day for that. They have the Imagineers like standing outside, just watching the reactions of people and stuff like that.
Yeah, they had some video I saw online that showed they had people there for that. And it's always cool. Like they even changed it around a bit. They redid a lot of the inside of that ride, and they changed even some of the setup for the Nightmare Before Christmas stuff, which is
sweet.
Cool.
So, and then we'll probably find some other shit to do because here in LA, there's a bunch of.
I have a list of stuff too. Yeah.
Awesome.
It's called, was it called like Delusions or something like that? Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, and then we'll also do, we'll probably also go down to the Fourth Horseman because they always have some, you know.
Oh, yeah, Delusion.
Horror shit going on.
Is one. The other one's called Alone. Then there's Zombie Joe.
Nice.
Yeah, I got some stuff written.
Cool. Mm. Cool. I figure while we're here, too, we should go. I was hoping that sometimes at the New Beverly Theater, which is Quentin Tarantino's theater, for Halloween, they'll have like some awesome movies playing there.
We were going to do Terrifier 3, too, right?
Yeah, that's coming out during that week, too. So we'll definitely do that down at the Pike.
Sweet.
Cool. All right. So that is the news. Let's talk five flicks to watch on a streaming service. Craig.
Does it have to be streaming service? Because I just want regular cable TV.
Oh, that's fine.
This time around.
Yeah,
fuck it.
Right. Nice.
Something What's different. Just regular cable TV, AMC, FX, those types of channels.
Nice. All right.
Shining.
Where's that at?
That's on AMC right now.
Nice.
Alien is on FX. A lot of these are just FX. Drag Me to Hell is also on FX.
Nice.
Love that film.
The original Scream.
Great flick.
They have all of them on there, but I chose the original one. It's a goodie.
It's the best one.
I believe that was AMC. And Alien, the original Alien movie.
Nice.
As well.
Sweet.
Nice.
Yeah, so like you said, lots of good stuff on just regular cable.
If you don't feel like streaming shit.
Yeah.
It's a good call.
Yeah, cable is going to be dead.
Yeah, Comet had some stuff on it too. Just
Comet, I don't think I've used that one.
It's like a retro.
Ah, okay.
They show like the original Friday the 13th. Remember that? It was terrible. The original Friday the 13th series.
The series, yeah, I remember that.
So dude, Comet that shows that. They show a lot of old, you know, B horrors and stuff.
Nice.
But they show regular, like, old, like, Gilligan's Island and stuff like that. But it's like a retro channel. It's called Comet.
Last night I was down at the Fourth Horseman for their freak flicks, where they have freaky horror movies playing. They had Night of the Living Dead Part 2, and I forgot how funny that film is.
Yeah.
It's been forever since I've seen that one. I remember liking it, but it's been forever since I've seen it.
They went hard on the comedy with that one.
Yeah.
The first one was kind of funny, but the second one was fucking way over the top funny. Especially when they're electrocuting all the zombies and one comes out with the Michael Jackson fucking jacket on doing fucking Thriller dancing. That was fucking funny. And then after that, they played Trick or Treat with Sam. Whee!
That's a great one. Still
my favorite of those four short stories. My favorite one is the one with what's her name in it?
Anna Paquin.
Anna Paquin. Yeah, the Snooki. Fucking the werewolf one.
No, that's at the end. That's the last one, right?
Yeah, the last one.
Well, they sort of they start off with
it. Yeah, she's like it's like throughout, and then she's the last story kind of.
Yeah. I just still my favorite one because she's so hot.
Is it? Yeah, I like the school bus with the kids.
That was pretty good, too.
Story.
That was pretty good, too.
They're actually all very good.
They are. They are.
If
all
you think about it, usually there's like one or two good stories
and then, like,
in those movies, but every story in that was really good. Up with the guy, you know, the guy carving the pumpkins and stuff. Hey, come on in. You know, like they were all good stories.
Nice.
Agreed.
And that was another movie. Trick or Treat was on regular cable television as well.
One's coming out pretty soon on 4K. Trick or Treat is coming out on 4K. I got that pre-ordered already. I got Long Legs pre-ordered. I got
nice.
I got I just ordered like a bunch today. Drag Me to Hell, that comes out October 29th. Shocker on 4K comes from Shout Factory on 10/29. It includes all the other documentaries, like The Music of Shocker, that I have on Blu-ray, but all now re-scanned in 4K scans.
Oh, sweet.
Nice.
Maxine comes out in 4K on October 8th. I have that pre-ordered.
Long Legs.
Fine. Yeah, Maxine. What a good film, but not, let me tell you.
Definitely not horror.
Not as good as the other two.
Of the three, it's probably my least favorite. I liked it, but of the three, it's probably my least favorite.
You know what? It didn't feel as complete as the other two did.
Yeah. No.
That left me a little wanting at the end.
It had big shoes to fill.
It did. Yeah. It did. It did. Yeah. It was a good film. Just wasn't what I was hoping for.
Yep.
Agreed. Trick or Treat that comes out. You know, I already said I ordered that. That comes out on the 29th. And Death Becomes Her 4K.
Oh, wow. Haven't seen that in forever.
Comes out October 22nd. And I pre-ordered that one, too. Others that were announced, but I didn't order yet, is Thanksgiving 4K and The First Omen is coming out in 4K.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to our top five. The top five this month is top five 80s comedy horrors. And I believe the order this month is Sal, Chris, Craig. So I guess I'm first. All right. Is that right? Am I first? Wait a second.
Sure. Who cares?
Whatever. Change it next time if we have
to. All right. Sounds good. Okay. Top five 1980s comedy horrors, horror comedies, horrors that you thought were funny, whatever. My number. Yeah, go for it. My number five. An American Werewolf in London.
Interesting. Nice. I guess the humor there was his buddy just rotting the whole time and.
Well, that and stuff, right? Even when like the werewolf bites somebody's head off and it rolls through the center of town, they were intended to be a little bit slapsticky, a little bit tongue-in-cheek comedy there.
One of my favorite all times, by the way.
Fantastic film.
There's like subtle humor, there's slapstick humor, there's dark humor, you know, like.
Yeah. And I believe that was, if you look it up, it's classified as a comedy horror.
Yep.
My number four, Return of the Living Dead.
Nice. That's a good one.
Also have that one in 4K.
Yep.
My number three, Monster Squad.
Good one.
I also have that one in 4K because that's like a classic. I love that one. My number two, Fright Night.
Okay.
Good one.
Fantastic film. Again, have that one on 4K.
Was that the one-liners from Evil Ed? Or?
Yeah, all of that shit was funny. The dude from who was the
Roddy McDowell?
Roddy McDowell, like he said a bunch of funny shit there too.
Yeah, Planet of the Apes, Roddy McDowell, Cornelius, or was he? Yeah, he was Cornelius, right? Yeah,
that's right.
Yep.
And my number one, Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Okay,
nice,
fantastic comedy horror. Have that one in 4K too. Love that film. Love that film so much. And I have two honorable mentions, 1980s, you know, comedy horrors. House.
Oh, yeah. House is a good one.
I just recently got that one on 4K, and it came with a really nice documentary.
Greatest about American Hero.
Behind the scenes, yeah.
George Wendt.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Richard Mole.
Yeah.
My favorite thing is like, I have one of your books. It's one of my favorites. I love your books. And he gives it to him. Can you sign it? And it's like ripped apart and fucking pieces falling out of it. That was just a great film. I love House. And another honorable mention is Ghoulies.
Ghoulies. Yeah.
The guy popping out of the toilet. Good.
Film.
Nice. All good right. List.
Nice.
There was a lot to choose from. Like I scribbled down like a whole bunch I was thinking of, and then I made the top five out of it.
Probably could have done a top 10 for this, like we did for top 10,
'80s. Certainly could have. '80s was something for comedy horror. Like there was a lot of great horror movies in the '80s, but the comedy horrors there was quite a few.
Yep,
for sure.
All right, and then we've got Chris.
All right, so my my number five, and I think this was on one of my lists before, was Student Bodies.
Good one.
I thought that was a really good movie. Yeah. I think a lot of these were on a list at some point during our last 77 episodes. My number four, Transylvania 6 5000.
Another classic.
Yeah, I mean, great cast too. Just like everybody in that movie was like ended up being like an A-lister or just like who's who of Hollywood stars.
Yeah, yeah.
Kramer was in that too, wasn't he? I think.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, he was like the butler. He was hilarious,
and he did all the jokes with like the leg getting caught in the door,
or with the pepper. Here, taste this. It's good. Yes, it's good. Taste this. All right, my number three is American Werewolf in London.
It's a good one.
Number two is Gremlins. That was out in 1984. 1984 actually had quite a few like great studio like horror comedies. That and
about,
Ghost.
Yeah, how about Christmas 80s Christmas horror comedy?
Oh damn, yeah. Yeah, because yeah, it is a Christmas movie too, for sure.
Yeah.
And my number one is Evil Dead 2.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It was more slapsticky than the original. I don't know if it was intended to be a comedy, but I think it probably was because, like, just Bruce Campbell, God, like,
yeah. Oh yeah,
Bruce,
yeah, the plates.
What? Well, I mean, think about it. The whole scene with all the animals laughing on the walls, yeah, and the shades and the lights laughing. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and then
it was creepy at the same time.
Though, exactly. Right? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Like, yeah.
They're going, oh, like, you know, it was
like my favorite is movie like horror comedies that can balance the creepy and the funny, like,
and just, you know, be a perfect blend of the two. Yes.
Yeah, a lot of them are either one or the other. You know, it's definitely horror with a little comedy, or it's definitely comedy with a little bit of horror. The ones that can, yeah, blend them nicely, good stuff.
Kind of like Saturday 14th, straight up comedy with a little bit of horror.
Yeah. All right, so I got two honorable mentions. I got Killer Clowns from Outer Space, and I also got House, which I thought was nice. I remember watching that a lot on HBO as a kid.
I think House 2 hits a little harder as a comedy. Yeah. House 2, the second story, but
I think I only ever watched that once, I think. I don't recall that one all that much.
Yeah.
Listen, it wasn't fantastic. The only reason why I remember it so clearly is because when I bought it on video cassette, it came with a Marvel Comics version of House 2, the second story.
Really?
Which I still have, yeah.
Nice.
Nice.
All right, that's my list.
Sweet.
Nice.
Okay, number five, American Werewolf in London.
Woo-hoo. Ah, look at that. Made all the lists.
Yep.
Ding, ding, ding.
Number four, Return of the Living Dead.
Yep. Nice one.
Yep. Number three, Evil Dead 2.
Nice one.
Number two, I went with Student Bodies as well.
Nice. I don't know why I didn't put that on my list. It was it's one that I jotted down, but I kind of felt like the other ones were better.
That had some really good humor in it.
It did. It really did.
Plastic, you know, the paper bag with the lipstick, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was good. It was good. Yeah,
just and breathing heavy, breathing
like, yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah. Yeah. Number one, I went with Creepshow.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of both, right? Yeah,
yeah,
I
didn't even think absolutely about that.
Jordy, damn it, meteor shit.
Meteor shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And honorable mentions, National Lampoon's Class Reunion.
That is a good one.
That is another fucking great one, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, and Ghoulies was my other honorable
mention. Ah, Ghoulies.
Ghoulies is good.
I think I forgot. I didn't mention this during the other news, but talking about Bruce Campbell reminded me. They got a series coming out on Peacock next month. It's like a horror series with Bruce Campbell in it.
Another one I don't have.
I can't remember what the name of it is. I think it's like called Havoc or something like that. But it releases next month on Peacock. It looks pretty good. There's a trailer available online. I think it's Havoc, but I can't. It's not 100%.
Yeah.
But anytime Bruce Campbell's in something, I'll check it out.
Sure.
You know, a movie that we probably should have added, which for some reason it just popped into my head now, but I didn't even have it on my list. Do you guys remember Society from 1989?
Oh, jeez. Yeah,
that was another fucking great comedy horror. The giant asshole with the guy's face.
Oh, yeah.
I had forgotten about that until I watched that documentary, the Into the Darkness one, where they went through all of the...
Yeah, they brought that one up.
Yeah. I was like, oh, shit, I do remember watching that. Yeah. That was a fucked up movie.
It was very fucked up, but it was funny as fuck.
No, you're right. That should have been on the list. Damn. For sure.
Damn, I didn't think of it.
But now you did.
Yeah, I did late. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, fantastic. Great, great top five. I'm always surprised that we are not running out of top five. Yeah. I know we're getting close, but somehow we just
keep
pulled it scraping off that time. Barrel. Scraping that barrel.
Yep.
All right, let us move on to our movie review. The review of the month is The Conference 2023. The Conference. Let's talk a little bit about this.
It's a Swedish flick.
Yeah. Yep.
So we got here, synopsis is a public sector employees battle not only their own discord, but also the bloodthirsty killer during a seemingly innocuous retreat. Directed by Patrick Elkund, producer by Ina Slodberg, Thomas Mulder, screenwriter is Thomas Molstad, Matt Stonberg and Patrick Eklund. It was distributed on Netflix. Its production company is SF Studios. The genre is horror slash comedy slash mystery thriller. Original language is Swedish. And it was released in October 13th, 2023. It's an hour and 40 minutes long.
I watched it dubbed in English. I don't know if you guys watch subtitles or dubbed in English.
Watched – there's certain movies – because I'll start watching. I did start watching it in
– Same here. Same
but
here.
When you're watching certain movies like that, you got to keep your eyes on the screen.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I switched it over. Some movies you can get away with it. Some you can't. This one I felt – Go ahead.
The dub was very close, I thought. Like the didn't it matched up very well.
Yeah.
So what I did is I did subtitles and the dubbed English.
Okay.
Which was kind of funny because sometimes the subtitles would have different words than what they were actually saying in the dubbed English.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you the reason why, and I'm gonna be straight up and honest about this. I started watching it in its native language, reading mm-hmm. subtitles, and it felt like it was moving too slow.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, maybe I'm missing something on the screen by wasting all this time reading the dialogue. And there was a lot of dialogue.
Yep. Yeah, there was.
So I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to leave the subtext on there, the subtitles, but I'm also going to turn on English audio because mm-hmm. I can't spend so much time reading this and missing what the hell's happening on the screen.
Yep.
But yeah,
it did. It had a really slow start, and I, to be honest, like 30 minutes in, I was like, ugh.
That's when the first kill was, I think.
This movie's dragging. Well, and even the first kill wasn't like it was a weak kill. I'm like, is this how this movie is going to be? Like, I thought it was a slasher flick. Like, I was like, oh man, this is like seems like made for TV almost.
Here's the notes that I took because I was irritated by part of this movie.
The beginning, I was really close to turning it off half an hour in.
It was really fucking hard to keep watching. But here's the reason why. Number one, it was a very slow burn. Number two, the first three kills, nobody noticed anyone was fucking dying.
Right. Which weren't good kills either.
No, and they were fucking lame-ass kills. But the thing that got me was like, come on. They're on a fucking team retreat, and you don't recognize people are starting to be missing? Yeah,
but all three people that were killed first were employees of the establishment they were at.
There were people that they were interacting with at the establishment. I'm like,
true.
Yeah.
So I was like, what the fuck is happening? And I started to get really annoyed by it.
We didn't have lunch today, and they just like they moved on to the another part of the story. And then it's like, hey, where's our dinner? And well, didn't you say they didn't give you lunch? Like,
yeah, I'm like, well, what the fuck, dude? Like, you wouldn't look for the fucking staff to be like, hey, where's my fucking lunch? Listen, I personally wouldn't make it from lunch to dinner without fucking eating.
Yeah.
I was a little annoyed by it. I was like, this is not a great film. At least it's not starting off in a way that I like.
No, it did not start off good.
Let's pause right here for a minute because we're going to start talking some details. If you haven't watched it and you're thinking about watching it, pause here. We're going to talk spoilery. We need to with this film.
Yeah.
So pause, watch it, come back. Or if you don't even know that you're going to watch it, you can listen to us blabber about it and then come back and watch it anyway.
Yeah. So I was close to turning it off. Yeah. But then it picked up.
It did. And some of the kills were fucking pretty damn good, actually.
And I thought there was some, like, at first I was like, this isn't even like a funny movie, but there was some good, like, subtle humor in there. And then they built on that. And then there was some, like, dark humor and, like,
The naked manager when he puts his leg up on the fucking couch and you just get a shot of his ass the whole time. I'm like,
that guy was great. Like I hated that guy, but like he played a great douchebag.
He played a fantastic douchebag.
His sidekick douchebag was just as good.
Oh, dude, his kill scene was awesome in the hot tub. I fucking loved that. Like,
because he gets up and he's like, bah, 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 and they just take the fucking tail, the boat motor. And then he runs it in the pool for a while, so I figure he's mincing the dude in there.
they show him later on, and it's just like an arm floating and a leg floating, and
yeah, it's pretty wild.
I did figure out who it was. It's another downfall.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I knew right away. I was like,
for some reason, I did not until they, me neither. When they figured it out, I was like, oh shit, it was the fucking.
But I also
said the farmer hung himself. I'm like, it's his kid or something.
I also liked the mask that they used for the for the killer. It reminded me of like Happy Death Day or what was the other one where like a goofy almost like Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
you know, like it was just a big stupid goofy mask, and I was like. Kind of added something to it for me. Plus, it made a nice, like, protective layer for when he got hit in the head or, like...
Or stabbed in the eye of the mask, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was nice.
Yeah, they did write that in there pretty good, too, right? Because they were trying to, you know, they even started it on fire at one point.
The one scene that I almost jumped off my couch and cheered is when that asshole ran into that wire and it fucking sliced his head.
But that was great then, though, when he was riding down the thing on the bike.
And the skin is, like, flapping around.
But that was cool, too, when she's sewing it back together for him, and then the sound effects you hear going...
And he's like, I gotta get the fuck out of here. Everybody here's an asshole.
No,
everyone
here's
an idiot. Yeah, everyone here's an idiot. Everyone here's stupid. I gotta get out of here. And then I hated him even more because when he pushed that chick off the fucking raft.
Oh, that asshole.
Dumb bitch. But he got what he deserved in the end. She peeled that fucking scalp off.
That was
man.
A cool scene. That was a great scene.
I think I loved when he was riding on that little, like, the bike and that old lady was, like, hanging from the back. And she's like, Jonas, wait for me. Wait for me.
And then she gets up and she thinks she knows who the murderer is. And she takes the mask off and goes, wait a minute. You're not, what was the guy's name?
Javier or something like that? Yeah. It was like Javier.
And then he takes the sickle and right in the fucking head.
And then she just starts wandering off. Like, and then the best was.
He obviously hit some kind of part of the brain or, you know.
The best is at the end when they're showing all the dead bodies, like, scattered all over the place, and that, like soft music is playing, and they just show her still wandering, and then she, like, just wanders into the lake and falls over.
Yeah.
And I like when the cops show up and the guy goes, what the fuck happened here?
We're having a team building exercise.
No, the fireworks and the flagpole scene was kind of fun.
That was good too,
The flagpole murder was pretty good.
Yep. The other one I liked was when he beat the piss out of that old man. Like, he just, like, was, like, jacking his shit up.
Oh, man, and knocked his fucking teeth out. His bottom teeth were all busted. He's missing his top teeth.
And his ears flapping off because he got hit in the head with
the chainsaw.
And she goes up. She's like, how's your ear? He's like, what? How's your ear? Speak up. I can't hear you. How's your ear? He's like, oh, I put a Band-Aid on it. Like, dude, your ear is just like flapping and you put a Band-Aid. There was just like stupid little humor, like stuff like that I enjoyed. You know, it wasn't over the top funny, but there was small stuff here or there that
I enjoyed. The thing that got to me was, like, it was so – I was so frustrated by the – and seriously, it was almost 55 minutes in before shit really started happening.
Yeah, that's why I got close to turning it off. I was like, ugh, dude, this is not good. Yeah. Not good at all. But the second half – well, second – like, the third act, I guess I'd say, got, like
– Yeah, the third act. Yeah.
Redeemed it for me.
It didn't fully redeem it, but it got better. Let's put it that way. Yeah. For me, it got better. Didn't redeem it because I'm still annoyed by it.
Yeah, I still got impatient. I mean, you know, it's just some of the stuff. It was like,
and I don't know if it's because of the fucking swipe culture that made me impatient with this type of shit.
Plus, it seemed like he was moving. Like, he was with that one girl, you know, all by herself. Like, it seemed like deep into the woods. Then all of a sudden, he's at the cabin with the old people. I'm like, you know what I mean? It's like, how did he?
We need to see the inviolent nature version of this.
Yeah,
exactly.
I want to see the killer move from scene to scene because some of it seemed a little unreal.
That movie jaded me, right?
That one part he sat down on the logs and took his head off and like took a candy bar out, like took a bite of the candy bar and then put his helmet.
Yeah.
One of my favorite scenes too, and the other thing was like that when she decapitated him with the gold shovel. I thought that, like, when they just showed the blood, like dripping, like, real slow, like, and you, like, got real close-ups of the blood drops, I really enjoyed that. But I was like, how about you take his head clean off with that frickin', like, novelty shovel? Like, I was like, I don't know. Especially with that big, like, especially with that big...
even if you swung it that hard, it would probably get hung up on your spinal cord and not go all the way through.
Well, and the big head was in the way too, so she had to get under the head clean enough that like she missed the giant novelty head and just cleanly took his head off. Again, it's a slasher film, so I'm willing to
suspend disbelief for that. But
I said, the overall story's been done 1,000 times, right?
Yeah. It's like, we got to remember it's Swedish too, so some of this stuff was designed for Swedish audiences
on these people, in a camp, and
they're talking the whole motive of the killer is revenge for his father, who is the farmer who is losing.
They stole his farm for him, and they put a mall. They're putting a mall.
I like the argument at the end about IKEA with the manager guy just before he's like buck naked and he's
IKEA's not coming.
I mean, it was. Let me put it this way: I'm not gonna watch it again.
No, I won't watch it again. But when I think of like some of the like '80s slasher films that were good enough, it was entertaining for the moment. I probably won't watch it again, but it was. It was good enough, the acting was just okay. There was some good kills to it. That's kind of what I likened it to, like a just, mass produced 80s horror homage sort of thing.
Yeah. That I agree with that. Yeah.
I'm giving it a 3. I would have given it like a 2 and a 2.5, but I thought the last like 20 minutes or so I brought it up just a notch for me.
Listen, I hate to be a dick about it, but, I try to, I understand filmmaking, cinema is an art, and I have a lot of respect for the people that put their effort into the art, but I was so annoyed at how, the fact that almost an hour in, and it really wasn't doing well for me, 2.5 stars.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I'm going 2.5 as well.
All right, so we'll go 2.5. We'll
do 2.5 stars from the American Nightmare podcast. Look, we watch a lot of foreign films in this podcast.
We do.
and we all understand and respect the art of filmmaking on this podcast. We're not a bunch of schlubs out there just naysaying everything. But I will say that this was a close call. Like I almost felt like this, like Craig said, I almost felt like this was going to be one of those "all the devils are here" moments, where I was like, "I'm just not going to fucking watch this." And turn it off.
I was close.
But yeah, I was close too. But you know what? It to me, like you said, for you it redeemed. For me, it didn't redeem itself, but it definitely picked up pace, and I felt a little better about it. I remembered looking at my watch, going, "Fuck
yeah."
I scroll down on my remote and it shows you like the length of time you've gone through. I'm like, we're halfway through the fucking film. What the hell's happening?
90 minutes probably would have been better.
I mean, dude. It was good. It was decent. 2.5 stars. Hey, I'm sure somebody out there will watch this film and go, "It's fucking brilliant." Maybe someone from some Swedish person.
I think Rotten Tomatoes. I think it got some decent reviews.
Yeah,
if I remember correctly.
Rotten Tomatoes. It has a 52% audience, 74% tomato meter. So critics did like it, and some of the critics I read there were foreign critics, so they were probably like, "Yeah, this is a great film."
Maybe it's meant more for European audiences too.
It's like, very possible too. I mean, the culture over there is slightly different, right? But 2.5 stars for the movie The Conference, a Swedish film on Netflix. All right, let's wrap this puppy up here. I want to say, first of all, thank you to all of our listeners. We have a steady stream of listeners every month, which I really appreciate. Give us some feedback, bro. You can email us at feedback@the-american-nightmare.com. You can visit us at the-american-nightmare.com or on Facebook. Or if you're lazy and you don't want to write me an email, feel free to leave me a voicemail at 1-562-247-5855. Leave us a voicemail. Tell us you hate us. Tell us you love us. Tell us I'm an idiot. Tell us I'm a jerk for calling M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong a failure, a hack, if you will. Do whatever, but please give us some feedback. Give us some interaction. It'd be nice to have.
Yeah, maybe if you call and leave and give us permission, we'll play your voicemail on the show.
Yeah, how about this? If you do call and leave a voicemail, just make the note at the end or beginning that this is okay to play on the air, and we'll do so. If not, we'll just take your information and use it. So recommend a movie, recommend a top five list, whatever. We could always use a little help because we are eventually going to run out of, I don't know when, you know, because here we are at episode 77.
Yeah.
We keep thinking of stuff.
Yeah, and we started this podcast at the end of 2017, beginning of 2018. So, like, fucking help us out here. All right. Thanks, everybody, and we'll talk to you next month.
All right. Peace. Thanks, guys.